telling you, I've been saved for 16 years, and it seems like, literally seems like every corner I turn, every decision I make, everywhere I go, he's always trying to finagle his way in, some kind of device he has, and we've just got to stay fortified, stay together. And anyway, good to see you tonight. Anybody have any prayer requests or any updates?
I have two.
Okay. Yes, ma'am. Sprung it in action. So we've got some friends need prayer. Is that right? So okay. Anybody else before I get into my list? Miss Nancy? Say you friend you work with her son? Hear more and more about it every day. And, okay. How's she doing? No. Anybody else? Okay. Barbara Anderson. It's odd that Miss BJ has got something and out of church. So upper respiratory and cold, and then Barbara Anderson, her back, spoke with her Monday. Is Barbara Ann been at Piedmont? Okay. So we'll pray for the Barbaras. And anybody else? guess I'm on. I just didn't have a red light. That's okay. You pray to yourself or out loud or just follow along with me. Brother Jeff, after I finish, will you close us out? Gracious Heavenly Father, I come to you tonight in Jesus' name. Lord, I thank you for this time of fellowship, Lord. Thank you for my brothers and sisters in Christ. Lord, midweek, every week, God, we're reminded that our batteries get low spiritually. It's a real world out there, and we're fighting real adversaries. And sometimes, Lord, the weakness of our flesh gives way, and we don't always yield to the Spirit like we should. I don't. The Bible says that the Spirit's willing, but the flesh is weak. And Lord, I'm thankful tonight that we have the desire to live for Jesus in our hearts. And Lord, help us tonight to just rise up, as Proverbs says, the just man riseth up seven times. And Lord, we can rise up out of guilt, and we can rise up out of failure because, Lord, God the Father doesn't see our sin or our mess-ups or hang-ups. He sees the righteousness of Jesus Christ. What a blessing that is. What means that is for us. We have a right to rise up. We have no right to be guilty. We have no right to stay down. We have no right to be defeated. We're more than conquerors through Him that loved us. And Lord, tonight, remind us through Your Word that, God, if we just yield ourselves to You, Lord, if whatever we have, whatever strength, whatever spiritual light we have, God, I pray that we would yield that to You, pour it out to You tonight, and I pray You would fill our vessels with the Holy Spirit. Give us boldness, give us courage. Lord, help us look the devil right in the eye and tell him he has no authority over our life. We are a child of the King. Thank You for my church tonight, Lord. I pray that You would visit with each and every person, active members, those who haven't been in a while, shut-ins. Calvary Baptist Church is not a has-been. It's a where-do-you-see-what-happens church, because this is an open door here. Ichabod is not written on our doors. The Spirit of the Lord has not departed from here. God is here. He's working. He's moving. Father, we're thankful for that. Be with all of these requests, those who are sick, God, those who are downtrodden, those who are bewildered, those who just need a touch, Lord, from on high. We pray. I lift the church as one unit up to You tonight. And we'll thank You and we'll praise You for all You do in Jesus' name. Jeff. Yes. Yes. Yes, Lord. Amen. Verse number 4, and when thou art... God in order to help. Old lady, and she had a need. The creditors were there, or the creditor, one creditor was there to receive a debt that her husband left behind, and money to pay, and so her sons were going to serve 7 years to pay that debt. So there was a widow, then there's Elisha, we know the prophet, but also there's her dead husband. He's another person that is within these variables that God worked in. There's the creditor, there's the two sons, and there's the neighbors. And so this widow lady, she had a need. She needed God to intervene in her life. And I really want us to just take a moment and notice of all the things that God put together to meet this lady's need. Again, widow lady, dead husband, Elisha, creditor, two sons, and neighbors. Each and every person had a part in this miracle taking place, really. And tonight, for a few moments, I just want to go down through these verses, verse 1 through 7, and we may summarize in brief one or two of the verses, but I want to take our time and look at some things here because I believe there's something here that will help all of us. And the title is The Widow and the Creditor. The Widow and the Creditor. You've heard teaching concerning this subject, I'm sure, through the years and preaching about this widow lady and about how that she had a pot of oil. Well, there's some things here tonight that I believe will help our faith and help us from day to day if we'll just grab a hold of them. Look in verse number 1. First of all, we see a widow woman in her concern. And now there cried a certain woman of the wives of the sons of the prophets unto Elisha, saying, Thy servant, my husband, is dead. Thou knowest that thy servant did fear the Lord, and the creditors come to take unto him my two sons to be bondmen. And so we have this widow woman in a concern. We mentioned that a moment ago. Her husband died. Now, I want to say this, that her husband left a debt, but her husband, while he was living, had a marvelous testimony. He was a godly man. Look what she says to Elisha. She says, Thy servant, my husband, is dead. Listen to this. And thou knowest that thy servant did fear the Lord. And so, this man had a relationship with Elisha, maybe a mentor. Somebody said maybe this was Obadiah. I'm not really sure. All I know is he had credibility. He was a man who feared God and had a good relationship with Elisha. But yet there were creditors at the door. The bill collector was there. And so how do you iron all that out? Can you maintain a good testimony and be in debt? We're not going to get into all that tonight because there's different kinds of debt. But anyway, I want to say this, that I believe that this lady's concern, she was a widow woman, her husband was dead, he left some debt. I believe that He spent all he had for the work of the Lord. Notice, if you would, that first phrase, or the second phrase. Now there cried a certain woman of the wives of the sons of the prophets. This was a college of preachers, prophets who would prophesy and preach, and they would follow around Elijah and Elisha. Well, her husband was one of those guys. And he went up through the ranks, and possibly he was a mentor. He was of great reputation. He had a great name. He loved the Lord. He loved Elisha. They had a partnership, a friendship. And so I feel like, and I believe, that the debt that he left behind, it wasn't a debt where he was in the world and being carnal with all these fleshly desires. I believe it was a debt that that really showed that he loved the Lord, and he spent everything he had in the work of the Lord. And but it was a concern. Many of us, we all have concerns from day to day. Things happen, may not be like this, but we all have concerns. We know that. And so what happened to this lady? What did she do with her concern? Well, she had this concern. The creditors were there, or one creditor. I'll get that right in a minute. And then her two sons, on top of the death of her husband, now the creditor was coming to take her two sons for 7 years. And so this lady's world is shrinking. While her sons were with her, and of course they were still with her, as she besought Elisha for help, but they worked, provided. Think about it. If you're a widow and you have two sons at home, I mean, hey, they're the men of the house. You know, they help and they work and provide. And so not only did she lose her husband, he died, but now the creditor is knocking on the door, the bill collector. Hey, give me your boys. There's a debt. Your husband didn't pay it off, and now your kids, your two boys, have to be servants for 7 years. And so her world is crumbling. This is a widow woman with a crisis on her hands, and it's getting worse and worse and worse. Have you ever been to that place in your life where you could not imagine it getting any worse? And then what happened? It got worse. It got worse. Her husband dropped dead, and this was a sudden death because the bill collector, the creditor, was there. So her husband died, and now there's a knock at the door. That's a lot to digest. The death of a loved one, and then the bill collectors, and really in life as of today, when there's a death of someone, a relative in your family and my family, there's bills there. Hopefully they leave with a clean slate, you know, for the family to move on with. But many times there's debts left behind and there's burdens left behind. But this lady had a concern. She had a crisis. Her husband died. He served the Lord his entire life. He was a mentor to these young preachers. Just didn't seem fair. Didn't seem fair how things were adding up. How that her husband gave his life to be a mentor to these preachers. And then for him to spend his money and his earnings on the work of the ministry. And then for him to drop dead. I don't know. It just doesn't seem fair to me. But guess what? Life's not fair. Life is not fair. I can't call the verse. I believe it might be in Deuteronomy, but it gives reference to the prophets and how all the prophets die. Good men die. As of today, righteous men, good men that used to stand and preach and teach, and deacons and trustees and Sunday school teachers that would influence in a great way. Guess what? Unless the rapture takes place, we're all going to die. Good men die. So now here's this woman with a crisis. Her husband died after giving his life to the Lord, selling and giving all of his earnings to the work of the ministry. And now there's a knock on the door. The creditor's there. And now her two sons are getting ready to go on for 7 years. She was at a pivotal place for something great to happen. I want to say this, that times in my life, milestones in my life that I can remember, defining moments, if you will, were not the times where, oh yeah, I need to follow Jesus more. I'm going to get up, cup of coffee, read my devotion, you know, those kind of things, and get into my prayer time, and I try to do those things the best I can. But my close times with God, where he really, really got a hold of me, was not in the good times, but it was in the bad times. It was when I was crushed. It was when there was no way out. Like this lady, her husband died, and her kids are getting ready to be took away. The bill collector's at the door. She has nothing and nowhere to go. Many times along life's journey, we'll find ourselves at a place of crisis. But I want to say this tonight. Our crisis is meant to turn us to Christ. You know that. You've done it your life, through your life. You do it now. I do it now the best I can. But God allows crisis in our life because he is trying to be a schoolmaster. He's trying to, whether it's something that we did we shouldn't have done, or whether it's something that we should have done we didn't do, the sin of commission, the sin of omission, maybe not even a sin, just some kind of weight in our life. God has a way of taking all of those things and bringing us to a pivotal point where we make a decision to really just cry out to God and ask him to rescue us. So verse number one deals with that, a woman in her crisis. Look at verse number two. The Bible says, and Elisha said unto her. Number one, she sought out Elisha. And verse 2 says, and Elisha said unto her, what shall I do for thee? Tell me, what hast thou, listen to these words, what hast thou in the house? I want to stop there for a moment and say this, that there was a creditor at her door. If she had anything left of any value, she would have given it not to lose her two sons. And so Elijah is doing something. He is not magnifying the problem. He is magnifying what she has left. And I want to tell you something. I found out something at 3 o'clock in the morning last night. I was up to, I think I may have got about an hour or two sleep, moving and everything. She was brought to this point. There was nothing left for her to give, but she was brought to that point so that she might recognize God wants what's left. Look what he says, verse 2. And Elisha said unto her, what shall I do for thee? Tell me, what hast thou in the house? And she said, thine handmaid hath not anything in the house save a pot of oil. And so Elisha is, he is simply magnifying what she has left, and he is lowering, if you will, the problem. I want to tell you what, I'm human. And in life, when things happen, it just has a way of magnifying. This big old hairy giant is in my head, and a dark cloud comes over me. And I'm telling you, it's hard to press through those things at times. But Elijah is doing something different. He's not magnifying the problem. He's magnifying the solution. And I want to say this tonight. The devil wants to magnify the problem and say there is no solution. Because if we believe the lies of the devil that there is no solution, and we know there is, then we're going down, 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 defeat, depression, discouragement, doubt. And so in verse 2 again, and Elijah said unto her, what shall I do for thee? Tell me, what hast thou in the house? And she said, thine handmaid hath not anything in the house save a pot of oil. Surely, Elisha, you can't do anything with that. I mean, that's all I have. All I have is this. I mean, my oil is not even in a vessel. I sold my vessel toward the payoff of these creditors. My oil is in a pot. Surely, you can't do anything with this pot of oil I have. I want to say tonight that God is interested in what we have left. Many times and I'm talking about me tonight, my biggest problem in life is me. And I'll say this, that I'm my own problem. And many times in life, that's how it happens. It trickles down, and we can either suffer and believe the lies of the devil, or we can rejoice in victory. But notice this, in verse number 3. So we know he's minimizing the problem. He's magnifying what she has. All she has is a little bit. That little bit is exactly enough. Verse 3 says, then he said, go borrow thee vessels abroad of all thy neighbors, even empty vessels, borrow not a few. When thou art come in, thou shalt shut the door upon thee and upon thy sons, look at this, and shalt pour out into all those vessels. I do not want to get ahead of myself, but I want to say this. Elijah gave her instruction. She had a crisis. She came to him. He minimized the problem when probably she was on such a roll of magnifying the problem and the creditors are here losing a son. My husband died. He minimized it, magnified what she had. Now he is asking for that little bit that she had. It says again in verse number 3, then he said, go, borrow thee vessels abroad of all thy neighbors, even empty vessels. Borrow not a few. When thou art come in, thou shalt shut the door upon thee and upon thy sons, and shalt pour out into all those vessels. I want you to notice this, back up in verse number 2, that Elijah was directing her attention to what she had. I said that a moment ago. Elisha was considering her case. She voiced she had a little committed to her management. All she had was a little pot of oil. She had a little committed to her management. That's all she had, was that little bit of pot of oil. Based upon, listen to this, Elisha's heart. Based upon Elisha's heart, motivated by God and love, he asked her, what shall I do for thee? In other words, what does she have left? What shall I do for you? What do you have left? What's in your house? And that's what he says in verse number 2. And Elisha said unto her, what shall I do for thee? Tell me, what hast thou in the house? What do you have? What's in your house? Elijah's heart was motivated by God in love, and he asked her, and he was bringing her to this reality that she does have something. So, because of what she had, all she needed was Elijah's blessing. You and I tonight, we're no match for the world, the flesh, the devil. We're more than conquerors through him that loved us. We have the victory in Jesus tonight. But there's times where we're spiritually fatigued. There's times where we doubt. There's times where it's seemingly that the devil and the world, I ain't mentioning his name anymore, he don't deserve it. But there's times where we feel like if we could to throw in the towel. But the whole point of the situation is that all we need is God's blessing on what we have left. If all we have left is a little bit of energy to make it to church, God will bless it. If all we have left is one moment of passion to bow our knees and our heads and pray a 15-second prayer, God will bless it. Because if that's all you have, that's all you have. That's all God requires is for us to give us everything he has. This widow had nothing. She sold the vessel that her oil was in. Now it's down to a pot. And he asked her, what shall I do for thee? What do you have left? What haven't you sold and given to the creditors? The truth is that she had absolutely nothing left, but she was right on the brink of a miracle. It is so pivotal in our lives when we are in that position to really just embrace the Lord. Cry out to him because our hearts are primed for him to work. Now, her need would be supplied by Elisha's blessing and increasing her little. All she had to do was present her little. He already asked her, what do you have? All I have is this. Well, all she needed was his blessing, and then it would be multiplied. Listen to this. If she had nothing left at all, and I believe this. This is the grace of God and mercy of God. If this widow lady had nothing of all, not even a pot of oil, if she had nothing left at all, God's divine power would have supplied her. But she had something left. You see, sometimes we get to the end of our ropes and we feel like we're going to fall off the edge and maybe even die. I don't know. Guess what? God's grace is there if you have nothing left. He'll raise us up. He'll strengthen us. And I know everybody in this room can testify at the times that you woke up and went to work and didn't want to, and bills were due, and listen, all these problems at work, and you had nothing left. But guess what happened? God supplied. And God would have supplied for this lady if she had nothing left, but she had something left. I want to ask us all tonight, do we have any left in our hearts for the Lord? I know we do. I know we do. But is there anything left? If there is, give it to God and He'll bless it. If she had nothing left at all, God's divine power would have supplied her, but having the pot of oil, the divine power would work with that. Something else. I've got 6 pages of notes at 3 o'clock in the morning I wrote. I'm not reading them all, though. Notice this. That's verse number 1 and 2. She has this crisis. Elijah comes in verse number 2 with counsel. Verse number 3 and 4 with counsel. He tells her, what do you have? Pot of oil. Verse 3, go and borrow vessels abroad of all thy neighbors. And verse number 4, he tells her to go and her sons behind the door in the house and shut it. And he says this in verse number 4. When thou art come in, thou shalt shut the door upon thee and thy sons, and shalt pour out into all those vessels. God spoke to me this morning and said this. When I shut the door on things in my life, I'm in position where I can pour out my soul before the Lord. It's hard to pour out your soul before the Lord when there's doors left open in your life that you're not through with yet, frankly. Let me mention this. Again, most likely she sold the vessel that she had to help toward the payoff of the creditor. She only has a pot now with the oil. Elijah instructs her to enter into her home and shut the door while she was pouring into the vessels out of her pot. Okay, hold on. Elijah instructs her to enter into her home and shut the door. And it was behind those closed doors, away from distractions, where she was pouring into those vessels what the oil she had. Here's the thing. While she was pouring, the vessels were being filled. While she gave what she had, those vessels were being filled. And when we give God what we have, whatever it is, God will fill us. That little bit of oil. He told her, don't borrow a few, borrow a lot. Go to your neighbors. Grab those empty vessels, bring them. But you got to shut the door. Shut the door on the world. Shut the door on the creditor. The creditor, it'll be a distraction from him. You'll be double-minded in that sense. But also, Elisha told her to shut the door because the miracle would have been performed publicly, and she may have gotten proud over it and said, looky here, looky here. And so he said, shut the door with what little bit you have. Shut the world out, and I want you to pour it out. Pour out what you have. And tonight, listen, we were over there praying just a moment ago, and that's time to pour it out. And I want to say this, that it's okay to cry in church. It's okay to cry. It's okay to pour out your complaints before the Lord. It's okay to do those things because this is what church is about. It's about getting in God's house, shutting the world out, and pouring it out. And as we pour out what we have, what little bit we have, God fills it. And that's exactly what happened in verse 4. And when thou art come in, thou shalt shut the door upon thee and upon thy sons, and shalt pour out into all the vessels. And so as she was pouring, the vessels were being filled. And whenever we give God, I just can't get past that tonight. Give God what we have. It may be little, but He will fill those voids. The oil was to be multiplied in the pouring. The widow was to pour herself, not Elisha, not her sons, but herself. She herself. Elisha couldn't pour that oil for her. Elisha could only lead her, gave her instruction what to do. Widow lady, if that's all you have, then borrow the vessels, shut the door. God's going to teach you a lesson. I can't do it for you. You have to do it yourself. And I want to say tonight that is true for everybody. You can lead a horse to water. You cannot make them drink. We can teach and we can try to be loving and kind. But listen, Elisha said, you've got to pour it out. If you want some things to be filled in your life with a lady, if you want that creditor to be paid, you have got to pour it out. Her sons couldn't pour it out. Elisha couldn't pour it out. She had to pour it out behind closed doors, away from everybody. And so we see that in verse number 2 through 4. This is because God was showing her. Listen to this. This is because God was showing her through carefulness and diligence with what she had, and God blessing it, the little would be multiplied and the need will be met. It doesn't matter how much we have or how little we have, as long as it's in God's hands. Like the song says, put it in God's hands. Put that burden in God's hands. Look in verse number 5. It says, so she went from him and shut the door upon her and upon her sons who brought the vessels to her, and she poured out. So not only there was a crisis, and then there was the counsel, but now there's courage. This is the defining moment in her life. We always, all of us, have defining moments, that pivotal moment. Will we go on with God? Will we not? Will we give in to this temptation? Will we not? It was an act of courage. Verse 5 again, so she went from him and shut the door upon her and upon her sons who brought the vessels to her, and she poured out. She believed that if she would give what she had, those vessels will be filled. And that's indeed what happened. She had courage here. Verse 5. The widow obeyed Elisha, shut the door, and she poured it out. She poured her oil out. What she had, she could have held on to it for her own uses, but she poured it out. She gave it over. She poured out her oil, notice this, in the neighbor's empty vessels. She, with what little bit she had, was able to fill her neighbor's vessels. You say, what does that mean? Everybody in here can reach somebody for the Lord. Doesn't matter how skilled, doesn't matter how unlearned, doesn't matter how much you have, how least you have. This lady poured out her little bit of oil, and she filled her neighbor's vessels. And I want to say tonight, that's the call of all of us, is to be our brother's keeper, to be our sister's keeper, to befriend those, be there for them, pour out what we have into others, is what I'm trying to say. So verse number 5, she poured out. Look at verse number 6. And it came to pass when the vessels were full, things were happening. She was being filled, the vessels were. And it came to pass when the vessels were full that she said unto her son, bring me yet a vessel. She desired more vessels. So in the beginning, she had no faith. All she had was a little oil. Now she's saying, man, them vessels are full. All I have is a little oil. Bring me another vessel. And that's exactly what God does with our faith. He strengthens our faith. And at one point in life, we may be shattered and over here kind of in a weakly state. But then we give God what we have, a little bit of strength. We go to church one more time. We read one more time. We hang on one more time. God takes it. He blesses it. And then we know He's provider at that time. He comes through. Our joy's being fulfilled again, being filled back up. And what happens? Our faith is stronger. What did Caleb say at his, 80 years old, up in age? He was an older man. Give me this mountain. Give me this mountain. So we see that in verse number 6. And it came to pass when the vessels were full, she said unto her son, bring me yet a vessel. I want you to notice this. Really get this. And he said unto her, there is not a vessel more. And the oil stayed. Here's the thing. When Justin Hales, when I'm not emptied for the Lord, His Holy Spirit, joy, and power is stayed. It stops. I'm connected to Him by relationship. I'll never go to hell. You won't either if you're saved. But the oil stayed. It stopped. Simply because there was no more empty vessels. You know, the way you get full of God is being empty. And so the oil stayed. Verse number 6. The oil continued to flow as long as she had empty vessels to receive it. My word tonight is, let's just carry on being empty vessels, relying on the Lord to fill us, to go to work in the mornings, to fill us, to put up this old crazy world and people flying down the road. And I tell you what, last night we were coming back from the house. We were behind an old Dodge pickup truck. The light turned green. He didn't go. We blew the horn. That's why you got a horn. That's why I tell Christy. She says, honey, don't do that. It'll shoot us. Yeah. And we went by him, and you know that man was slunched over just like this. I mean, he looked dead. He really did. Crazy world. I don't know if he was texting. We went over to the next parking lot at Food Depot, and I mean I feel like I'm a Powder Springs cop, ambulance, fireman at the same time. I wanted to jump in and save the day. I really did. We looped around and came back. He was gone. I don't know. Just a crazy world. People texting, people driving, people getting in wrecks, falling asleep at the wheel. One man right here in Powder Springs about 3 years ago, right before he crossed the railroad tracks, slunched over and died. I mean, it's a crazy world. It's a crazy, crazy world. But verse number 6, it came to pass when the vessels were full, she said unto her son, bring me yet a vessel. And he said unto her, there is not a vessel more, and the old stayed. So let us stay empty so we might be filled to have the power to put up with this crazy world. One last thing, we'll be through. Verse number 7. Then she came, told the man of God. He said, go, sell the oil, and pay thy debt, and live thou and thy children of the rest. Verse number 7, just a couple things I want to mention. The widow was directed to not hoard the oil, but sell it. She was directed by Elisha to not hoard it, but to sell it. It wasn't for her own use, for her own face to shine. She could have enjoyed that oil and having the plentiness of those filled vessels, and oh, look at me, I have all this oil, and for her face to shine. But you see, God fills our vessels that it may shine somebody else's face. She was called. He said, then she came and told the man of God. He said, go. Don't hoard it. It's not for you to, for your face to shine. Go sell the oil. Then pay thy debt and live thou and thy children of the rest. It wasn't for her face to shine. It was to shine other faces. Oil was a commodity that Israel traded in, Ezekiel 27:17. So oil was something people were always going after. She must pay her debt first, even before making provision for herself or her children. And then notice this. She was to give cheerfully, not grudgingly. God intervened in her life, filled those vessels, and she was to sell them, not hoard them. But when she did sell them, and when she did give them, not to give them grudgingly. Oh, here you go, take this. You know, I'm giving you 10% of my oil. What does that sound like? That sounds like tithing. That sounds like God says He loves a cheerful giver, and every blessing we have, every two pennies we have to rub together, it all came from God, and we're to give cheerfully and not grudgingly. She was to go and pay the debt. She wasn't to store up, but to live on the money made from the oil. Listen to this, and I'll bring it to a close. She was to give cheerfully, not grudgingly. She wasn't to store it up, but to live on the money made from the oil. Just hang in there with me. Live on the money made from the oil. Obeying God's word from the lips of Elisha, she learned that God provided and supplied her need in the way of duty. And so here's the idea, here's the picture. She had a little bit of oil. She listened to the man of God's words, which was the word of God. She borrowed the vessel. She closed the door, no distractions, and all faith in God's word with what little bit she had, because the man of God had blessed it. She poured it out as she was pouring. They were being filled and full, and then she would sell them and live on that money. But guess what? Obeying God's word from the lips of Elisha, she learned that God provided and supplied her need in the way of duty. God provides for us when we serve Him. Matthew 6:33, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. I know y'all know all this. It's a reminder for me. So often I have to get back to the basics and understand that, you know, it starts with God first. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added. You see, God blessed her and gave her a little company, a business, and she was selling it and living off that money. So God does that for us as well. When we serve Him, He'll provide for us. God promises to feed us, not to feast us. We've never been promised a daily feast, but we have been promised daily bread. God promises, listen to this, God promises mercies, not miracles. If He promised miracles, it wouldn't be a miracle. God promises mercy. His mercies are new every morning, Lamentations says. God promises daily bread. He doesn't promise we'll always have a feast. He doesn't promise we'll always get a miracle. But there's one thing about it. He always promises to be faithful, to feed us, to be merciful. And the gist of the message is just simply this. It's whatever we have, continue to give it to the Lord. Heavenly Father, we thank You for Your love tonight. I thank You for just the sweet church, Lord, You placed me at. I love my congregation, Lord, and so unworthy to serve in this capacity, but I'm thankful, Lord, that You allow us to meet together and glean things from Your word, Lord. I don't take that lightly. I pray that they receive something tonight they can chew on and think about. And just remind us all, Lord, that it's all about giving You what we have. You are our sufficiency, not the White House, not America, not no foreign country, not the jobs we work at, Lord. You are our sufficiency. So we cast all of our faith and trust in You. We love You and we thank You in Jesus' name. Amen. Y'all are the best listeners ever. Anything in conclusion? Absolutely. Absolutely. Anybody got any other such as that they want to mention? It's a good one. Yep, absolutely. One of the commentators I was reading mentioned that. That's good. That's good. Thank you. Yes, ma'am. That's a good one right there. That is good. You're right. Don't limit God. I tell you, the Bible's an amazing book. It don't take many scriptures at all to get us pumped up, does it? Thank you for your feedback. What about Elijah when God moved him from facing Ahab to the brook Cherith, a secluded place behind the scenes, and then he dried that place up and it moved him out to Zarephath, the widow woman. What does she have? Very little as well, but she gave, and the Bible says that the barrel of meal wasted not every day. She had to live by faith, but it was there every day. Y'all are making me excited. Anything to mention before we close? In advance, thank all you mothers for all you do this coming Sunday, Mother's Day. And no Sunday night service. Enjoy your family. All right, well, that's all. We'll just be dismissed. I just pray to believe, and I forget that fast. All right, everybody have a blessed night. Be safe.